can't, I mean, you might have seen it, I'm just talking rhetorically, but you can't believe it. It's made, it's wood, and the resonators are big tins, and it's just plain stuff, slabs of aluminum. I mean, and it makes this beautiful music, I mean.
One's at Tennessee State, and one's at Mills. We're still building one at Mills. And that's got some advantages to San Jose one doesn't have, because you learn more experience, it's heavier, bigger.
It's really impressive, the fact that the materials are so commonplace, and.
They're commonplace here, but Richard North took, did I tell you that he's having a Tendera made for his gamelan, his old, which is an iron gamelan, and he's having it made in the court of Chiragon, the palace, the Kraton, where he's living, by the way.
Oh, really?
These 2 months. And he asked Bill to bend iron things that he already had to the tuning so that he could duplicate the tuning of his gamelan. And the Gendera could be built. Well, Bill was loath to do it because if you do that bending operation, you go scooting way up and down in pitch, and he felt wasn't going to be stable, and he was afraid to touch it. So he made his usual aluminum slab, and we wrapped them all up in a neat little chamois container and set it with plus 2 slabs to replace those bad Bonang and Sekar Kembar, you know, pitches. And we got a card from Richard that these were a big success in the court, and now they want photographs of the gamelans.
Oh,
so we have majors of the balance.
Oh,
yeah.
What a turnabout.
Yeah.
Aluminum was only second to brass.
Paul Chotro feels that it's the second metal to bronze. Brass and bronze are different. Yeah. Brass is with nickel, and bronze is with tin. Copper is the basis, but yeah, Pachoka feels that it's second only to bronze.
Where does iron fit in? Was iron
is the second metal, and as a matter of fact, in some very early instances, the preferred metal. Remind yourself that iron happens before bronze in the technical development, and it turns out that due to the impurities and the way that they made a lot of early iron, it was actually steel. Yeah. Unconscious steel was being produced. But at any rate, in some instances, very, very fine, and as they put it, Pusaka or heirloom gamelans are of iron. But in the village level, ordinary common iron is used. And there are literally thousands of good iron gamelans. And some big iron gongs are just gorgeous, just really beautiful. So, in fact, I've ordered one, I can't wait. Yeah, a big iron gong. I don't think it's going to be a killer gong. But iron is the second metal normally. And remember again that in some areas of the world, aluminum is still a very rare metal.
Right.
In fact, I wasn't aware until the National Geographic published fact a year or so ago that all the aluminum in the world 75 years ago was put on the top of the Washington Monument.
Right, it was just a block.
That was it. So it's a very rare metal still in large parts of the world. I think they just haven't gotten around to it because surely they'll take to it. You can see that this immediately produced a reaction, these little aluminum metals that don't
have. Am I right about aluminum? The production of aluminum is still limited and monopolized in certain countries.
Yes, because it requires an enormous hydroelectric energy.
Right. And what is the base?
Taiwan, for example, has
the base
huge aluminum.
Mineral that they use, the base element?
Bauxite.
And wherever that's...
And that you have to have that and an enormous electrical energy producing. Fortunately, once produced, it scraps better than any other metal. Because the corrosion, you've got back to pure aluminum just by melting it down, doing it over, there's no problem. In this respect, by the way, it is like good bronze for bronze. The preference is to use old gamelan metal and just refound it. Instead of re-putting it together, the mix. So the mix is known, and you could just put it together, still they like better and older. And aluminum answers that too, you could do the same thing.
What made you decide, and when did you decide? I don't have to know the exact date, I'm just curious, to start to build the instruments. Just because they were so hard? To import or what?
Oh, that's one reason, yes. Your natural greed. You want a gamelan, and how are you going to do it if you can't afford one?
Sure.
Build one, yes. Of course, it's the same thing the villages do. They want a Gamelan like the court. They can't afford it, so they build one in iron instead of bronze. So you divide up. Sure, and you can do things we didn't know about. We just did because Bill was an electrician. He knew about conduit tubes and that they were resonant, so we built tube Gamelans. But then we thought of the slabs for the deep tones, and we went right on down, and apparently nobody had done that before. So we, in the registers that we use it.
Yeah.
Though, Java again has the tradition of the kimoto, which is a, well, it's a guangago, a deep one, really. Mm. And it consists of two very large iron slabs with a boss in the middle of each. And they're tuned just far enough apart to make the wave, the omba. And they're resonated over two large boxes together. So the slabs like this, we play them together like this. And so those are slab gongs, like we've produced. But the range from there up through the Kempuris and the Gongsu on and all of that has not been enough. Though the tendency now in Bali is to omit all of the, except the deepest gongs, to omit the kettle form and to go direct to slabs. So they're heading in a similar direction.
But that just
evolved? It's very simple to just keep doing that.
Yeah.
Get bigger and heavier.
Yeah.
And bigger resonance.
They're not a gore, I mean, they're not a spectacular booking.
No. No, they're not. And also, they have a very beautiful tone. The gongago in Sibet is very impressive.
Yeah.
It speaks at 38 cycles, and it's very rich.
So the actual materials of gamelan and the way the instrument is constructed is still evolving.
Oh, mercy, yes. And they make them of everything. There's even a glass gamelan.
Oh.
Yes. Well, like the glass orchestra in Ontario, or in Toronto. There's a glass gamelan. I don't know where it is, but Sock mentioned it from the 30s.
Yeah.
And they make them of everything.
About this. Out of a bus to San Diego?
Yeah,
exactly.
There's...
Anybody made a platinum one?
It's not very musical, I don't suppose. It is for flutes, though.
What do you think about the stylistic evolution of Gamelan? How do you perceive that?
Again, there are already so many styles, all of them evolving and changing and also interbreeding, that they come up with babies all the time. It's a free and wonderful world, and it's very creative. It's just fun.
We were listening to a piece of music that used French horn with the gamelan. Things like that.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, the title of that piece, I asked, is a result of asking Neil Monmouth-Tech. I said, what name? I know that you give it a name when you play gamelan with Western instruments. What is that? And he said, oh, that's Nainder Sama Sama. And so I said, write it down for me, please. And he did, and that's the name of the piece, Nainder Sama Sama. And it's literally translated as playing together.
Would you write that down, or could we copy that down?
Yeah, sure.
But, do you like any of the work you've seen with using electronic Western instruments with any of the gamelan?
I'm not too fond of it. The loudspeaker, you mean, because that's what electronics evolved into, is simply the loudspeaker. Well, the loudspeaker is an additional instrument, but I don't think of it as any great shapes. It's no more than adding another sauron or whatever. It's another instrument. Sure, it's a Nainder Sama Sama, if you will.
Right.
That's true. So that's, that too, sure. And all this, by the way, is being done in drama as well. Everything is.
Really?
There's even almost a complete reversal. When the Dutch left Java, they left lots of brass bands around in the courts and things like that. There's now a tradition in one area of, I think, Sunda, that a defunct Dutch brass band is now played as a gamelan.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And the clarinet sounds exactly like what they call a tabouret, which is a double reed, a very Asiatic sound. And then the various French horns and everything all take parts like the Demons and Slentems and so on, and they play gamelan music on the brass band.
Are those modified in the brass?
No, they're just straight instruments played as a gamelan.
Sure. So if they don't sound, they
do. Oh, no, you never modify it.
No, you're good.
What's
that? Because we have a sound of our instrument imposed upon us since we're very young. So
yes,
if we just
course.
Give it to Mr. Max out in the jungle,
sure. Or
the boy that lived with the wolves and give him a French horn, what happened?
They would do something else, yes.
Completely, that's true.
I've been trying to see that movie. Platinum. The Wild Child, La Fon Sauvage, the Truffaut film about the boy that lived with the wolves. Anyone seen it?
Yeah. You know, there are a lot, there are today at least three children living in this world who have been living and raised with gazelles.
Gazelles?
Discovered in Africa. Okay. Yeah. There are three of them that are alive. One was taken away from the gazelles and put back and tried to re-educate, and they couldn't teach him to speak, and they finally released him to the gazelles. And the last one found was about 5 years ago, and the scientist left him. He said he was a gazelle. He thought of himself as a gazelle. He examined him. He appeared to be happy. He didn't really approach him. He observed him for days and then made it.
Where is
that? This is in the Sahara Desert.
How beautiful that they left them. That's so rare to just say, leave
them. This is the first time. The last one, the man just said he left him and he will not reveal the location. He doesn't want anybody else to investigate it. He said he appeared happy. And he left him.
It's taken a lot of time.
Think of all these tribes. Tribes that they found that know nothing of the world, and then they...
In the Philippines.
Fortunately, the last tribe found in Brazil, the anthropologist made the same decision. He said they were beautiful, happy, and intelligent. Mm-hmm. And he said the most amazing thing that happened was me. I made my visit very short.
Oh, gives me the shiver.
And I left them, and they will not reveal their location.
I know. That's the same thing that I think Asimov said about this business of whether we should get together with dolphins. Right. So what can we do? The Rupert Finney in his article said, the question is, what can we do with the dolphins? The answer is, we could leave them the hell alone.
Really? They leave us alone. Really?
That's a very good point. Yeah. I think we could have some kind of rapport with them if we like, but we don't have to feel that we have to live with them.
We don't have to think of democracy and Christian way of life. Well, this is really like an ending thing, but it's not an ending thing, but I may as well get it over with. Yep. Could you give some advice to composers? That's like, I know some of these are the most happy things, but I really, the only reason that the so-called happy stuff is on here is because I'm curious as to what you want to do.
Well, those
are the
questions, of course.
So that's why it's not, you know.
Advice to composers. Yeah. Well, no, except just compose and do it. Have fun about it. That's the important thing. Don't make it a big drag. And also, it seems to me that you ought to be, I know this is sort of heretical these days, but it may prove in a year or so.
I like your heretical
advice, and that is the basic one that any civilized person is usually willing to pay for his own pleasures, and if composing is the pleasure, so it is not absolutely necessary to have a great deal of government support, it sounds like. Or even private support.
I think that's quite timely, because I think it's drying up anyway that way, and you have to decide.
Yeah, right, and as I said, a civilized person is willing to pay for his pleasures. But for heaven's sakes, have fun.
Yeah.
There's really no profit otherwise. What's
this? Really? That's what I tell my parents.
Sure.
You know, I learned that one time about 3 years ago. I was doing an extremely difficult concert. I was very worried, and I played very difficult music and new pieces really hard. And I worked very hard, and when I came to about the 2 days before, I felt very insecure and very unhappy about the concert because I didn't think it was going to be my best. I just had this kind of focus. And I spoke to a violinist from Poland. Which is very interesting because you know that their approach and the way they're raised, the music has nothing to do with the way that we're trained as musicians. This kind of thing they're taking. You will be a musician. Mm-hmm. You are talented. You are 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And you know the system in the Eastern European countries. And she just looked at me and she said, you know, I think about that all the time. Sometimes, because the way I've played music, I've never known anything else, I could always put down the violin and just get married and have children and never play again. And she was a magnificent violinist. First violin of the Warsaw Chamber Orchestra. I mean, wonderful. Mm-hmm. She was capable of doing that because she had never learned it. She said, I now feel that when I go out to play, that it must be a pleasure and a joy to me. Mm-hmm. The performance that I give that is not a pleasure and a joy is the day I will put down the violin and never play it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
She looks at me and she said, Yvonne, when you do this concert, whether it is your best or not your best or your worst or whatever, it does not matter. It
must be a pleasure. Mm-hmm. If you will enjoy doing it and if you love the music, you will do the best you can. And the next time, if it is not as good as you like, it will be better.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remembered that, mm-hmm. and it really changed all the focus, all the kind of anxiety that I had about mm-hmm. aiming toward process,
oh, sure, yeah.
perfection, all this kind of thing. That changed everything.
That's very concrete.
Especially if someone yeah. raised that way.
Yeah.
With them, compulsive.
Well, that's
anything.
Your yes and no. You know, as Hobbes has said,
right.
the person has their yes, their no.
Right.
Find that out.
Right.
Instead of compulsion and madness.
Right. And that's exactly what yeah. I found at that point. And I just found it. I just said,
yes and no.
It's so simple, but right.
That's what I have jotted down as far as having fun. I just have, as far as talking about the San Diego trip, which was a lot of work and schlepping, because we were taking the instruments in and out of the
bus every minute. Oh, that's
the
first thing about that.
But I have here just playing fun, you know,
yeah.
because it's true. You know, you and Bill can get your
guys too,
of course. Really? That's the only time I've ever seen you testing. That's just before the performance. Is where we're placing them. We never know where to place them. Lou's sort of yelling at us. I want to.
You know, I'm apologetic about that.
I don't care. I think it's necessary.
Has
no.
to do it.
I think it's
the faster, the sooner, so to speak.
I think it's. I think it's
so
cool.
I'm always scared to do it, but I have to, and that's why I test it.
It wasn't talking about that. Reminding me, wasn't that concert at New Music America wonderful? We closed the. Lou closed the whole thing.
I wanted so much.
There were 1,200 people there. They had started off by seeing Laurie Anderson. We thought, I thought, you know, it's going to be, you know, a lot of her fans. They did not leave. They stayed, and it was the most fabulous end to it. I thought
it went quite well.
I thought
the recording shows that we were ragged.
Really?
Oh, yes.
What did you finish
with? I haven't heard.
Well, we know we did a series of words.
There was so much.
That was a big mistake.
Wasn't Larry's piece beautiful?
Right.
Larry London?
Yes, but we should get the electronics under control. The mistake there was that we depended on outside technicians instead of carrying ours with us. That
was it.
So we really couldn't adjust it.
I
was just about to pull a plug here. I was sitting by one of the speakers back there, and it started to play back. And I almost crawled over to it to pull, because it would have been just terrible.
This is like their amplification system?
Yeah, they did it.
They were amplified.
And they did it from mic through back speakers onto the focus of the instrument. And it didn't sound that way, and it started to play back. And so I say, I was really scared. I thought, what's going to happen?
Just
I almost stopped to pull it, you know. So, but after this, that'll work, of course. It'll work beautifully. And we must do it again.
Are those recordings?
They already have them. Oh, yes. But it is random. It is random.
Bang the hell out of the instrument, you know.
Oh, it's
all right. You have to watch them. I think we're more protective than you are, you know.
I love Larry Smith.
Yeah,
I do too. I have a whole collection of things. He and David Rosenthal come down every so often play me new pieces.
Yeah.
I record it always, so I got a whole lots of them. Someday I'm going to compile them to show them.
What's being played at Cabrillo of yours? Anything?
I think they're doing a Johnny Appleseed. A little ballet for chamber percussion with a homemade flute. The directions are to take a piece of bamboo or PVC or something. You wouldn't do it. Just bamboo, I guess. And then you take a spike and heat it up on the stove and punch holes at random.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. Yeah.
No. Six hole.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it doesn't have to be.
Do you remember the time? I just, these things stick in my mind when we left from the last performance, the last outdoor performance, we didn't shake out the mats that we kneel on. And you were
okay
now?
Stickers in your panty as you stick the scab on. Oh, no.
No. I'm going off to be coarse with you or something. I don't know what the word was, because you're not listening to me, because you're going to get fox gloves up the ass.
Well, that was potentially true.
And the other thing that you said was, we all decided after the first time that this is the male salon, and we sort of had enough with wearing skirts. So we said to Lou, you know, is it okay if we wear white jeans and white tops, or white skirts and white tops? So Lou
said, well, it's really okay. He said, but, man, you know, it's one of your few chances to wear a skirt.
Yes, that's true. That's very, very true. When the other time you wear a skirt, in public, too. That reminds me of Mark Hoffman, who was the, was it Mark? Yeah, up here. He said, I love Javanese style, I call him. And he invited his sister, and she said, well, she came back after, and he had taken a bow on her. She said, well, I knew you played with dolls, but I didn't know you did it for the skirt on.
We said to Lou, but then I think you said you're broke and you're not getting...
Oh, I was not buying.
I said, well, we'll have a pair of white pants made for you with the... And you said, oh, no, I'm wearing my gold caftan. I don't know about you, but I'm wearing my gold caftan.
Yeah, we have to figure out a costume for the demo.
Speaking of puppets, what next that you're getting ready to do? With
the
other puppet.
Well, I'm a guest speaker at the festival. I'll do two talks, and what I'm going to do is...
What's the group of organization that you're speaking
to? Oh, the Puppeteers of America. It's their national convention, and it'll be a whole week of performances and workshops and performances. Two of the performances come from around here. Tonight's is a tryout. That's why I'm Golay. That's like that. Accompanied by Franz Gamelon, and it's in Sundanese style. And the... other one is, another one that I know about is Larry Reed, who is the Balinese shadow, Mayan Kulit Dalang, and he committed himself to do The Tempest of Shakespeare with the Balinese figures and with the small Finder Rayan.
When and where?
At San Luis Obispo next week. Yeah, and I talked with him during the festival down in San Diego. I had a chance to talk with him a great deal. He's going to do it outdoors with the torch, not electric light, which gives him brilliant shimmering quality to the screen. Well, it's really beautiful to see it with a torch. It's dangerous too, it's right close to the screen. But the way he started to do it, The Tempest, is to memorize every word in the whole play. Then as a Dalang, he takes out of that text what he needs to organize it in the Balinese fashion. So he's going to present a Balinese Tempest with Shakespeare's words used when the Dalang needs them. Yeah, they're terrific. It turns out I wasn't really aware. He's a consultant in cinema. He goes around the planet doing all sorts of things too. He's really quite a theater man. And that's his way of starting to work on.
Oh,
yeah.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah, that's
I'll be working at the pie shop. I've been complaining, catching about that pie shop. You know, the fry pans are so
those
big.
Those are good.
But they're so huge. Oh, they're delicious. Yeah, I just feel my wrist turning, you know? Like as I'm emptying the onions into the big vat, you know?
They're heavy, of course.
Do they know Willie Blair? Because I'm taking over his job.
This is my first time in California. This is a great adventure.
My God.
Well,
they've been almost everywhere else, and I just decided this year I will go. As a matter of fact, California is so strange, so remote, and so divorced from anything that I've ever known that the first thing I did when I got to the airport is go to the currency exchange.
Oh, I love that.
Walk over to the currency exchange. No.
It's like the Chamber of Commerce in Hawaii still gets requests for visas.
When I first came to California, I'm from Montreal, and I've been to Europe a lot of times, and just from the east. When I came to California, I thought that there'd be, you know, psychotics everywhere and earthquakes. I mean, that's what I saw. You know, mass murders and mansions, earthquakes. That was a bit. I couldn't believe. People looked regular, you know? I really thought it was...
Two arms, two legs,
yeah,
the usual.
Yeah.
The Germans said about Texas was you just simply take the toothpick after you put it in the ground and then you have oil.
Teasing their hairs when they stop.
Yes, John. You said, we went right over this very fast, but you said something that was quite provocative. You said something about Lloyd Reynolds literally died.
No, he has died within the last decade. Oh. But he was my first calligraphy teacher. Then I was aided also by René Charlotte. And I got sort of day-to-day help from René, but constant criticism at distance, and then every summer, Lloyd helped. And that went on for years. They became a total obsession for about 10 years. I could do nothing else. Now if I sit down to try to write well, my hand just cramps up like this. But, you know, if I decide I'm going to make a page of beautiful calligraphy, I can no more do it than fly. My hand just goes like this.
Really?
But if I'm on the phone or, you know, I do this and comes...
Yeah, just some of
I can
notes.
Only do it now sort of subliminally and subconsciously.
Some of your little casual signs to us, and just red and green, are so gorgeous. Yeah.
I'm putting up, by the way, as a sort of, I feel that Mills has to be balanced. You know, it's listing heavily. So I've got a whole stream of things to put up on the wall. Quotes from Harry Parks, from Cicero, Robert Coryell.
How do you think it's listing? In which direction?
Well, for example, the one from Cicero is that persons who know only their own generation are doomed to remain forever children. Mm-hmm. And the other one is, Robert Gordon made the observation, which I thought was wonderful. Shakespeare never wrote a now work.
Yeah.
And then the Harry Parch one is terrific.
What's that?
I don't know if I can remember it literally, but he said, nothing could be more idiotic, downright idiotic, than expressing your own tongue. The artist is by definition transcends his age, yeah, and therefore shows it in terms of the eternal mysteries.
I would say that.
Bill's trying to get rid of that, so he might have to keep the signs up pretty long. So
I say, all right, well, I thought it needed balance, and listed it a little bit.
Maybe I'll swing it over, put it
all
on the list.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I see, go too far.
I think all
right,
people from
let the waves take care.
The whole faculty of the Center for Contemporary Music have not been continued. They've been fired, literally, and lots of have changed, and the whole center.
Well, I mean, the faculty's resigned. Ashley resigned.
No, we're talking about
the
Maggie Payne.
Oh, the Maggie Payne. Faculty. They were
assistant
assistants.
Maggie was
back. Well, they listed as technical assistants, according to Robert Ashton. That's all I know. Of course, yeah.
They've been literally, the ones who want a job, they're...
Well, what's going to happen? What is there? I'm on the search committee, you know, for just one person, but that's not. There's just one person.
I don't know why they got rid of the other people. Who wants a job?
Well, I don't know either.
Is this something that happened recently?
Yeah.
And Mills College, you say, has Center for Contemporary Music sort of folded or dissolved?
Yes, put it that way. It's changing.
Oh, no.
Yes.
It's literally been...
You know, there's a terrible problem, as you probably are aware already, that what is there is, number one, antiquated. Number two, both the young people and the old masters heading in one direction, which we don't have.
Okay.
And do we have the money to invest?
Well, for...
It's computers. We don't have it.
Oh, well, no. We're doing pretty well on computers. I mean, they're very affordable, you might say, personal computers that...
Yes, true.
But we have those.
Yeah.
But
the, yeah, but
I mean, you don't have
it
to.
It isn't like a big computer
set.
Well, but that's the problem in hiring anybody now. They're only interested in very advanced computers. And the old electronic thing is just simply disappearing, is what I'm trying to point out. And thus, a whole lot of equipment is automatically and technologically antiquated, so are the people connected, and all that sort of thing. So that is a problem. I discovered right away, almost my first inquiries, East Coast to West, were on this. That was the first thing that came up, things like that. So, anyway, it will resolve and get going. That's the point.
What are your future projects?
Oh, God, the ones I've undertaken now are enough.
What are they?
We're sitting in one.
My alignment is the following. I have accepted a commission from the Cabrillo Festival for a large symphonic work for premiere next summer.
Oh.
And Dennis wants a big splashy orchestra piece, so it'll probably be my third symphony.
Oh.
Then,
look forward to that.
At the same time, I have to revise my second opera for a performance in Stuttgart a year from November, which means that I have to learn German enough to be able to sing the German tune instead of the English one, which they won't sing it in. What I wanted was for them to do it in English, and then have titles like in a movie. In German. I think that'd be wonderful. In fact, I think I may insist on it even if it's all in German.
Yeah.
Because it'd be such fun.
I know.
With those little lights going along somewhere, you know?
Yeah,
you never understand words anyway.
Yeah,
you
know, it's in your own language.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you have the thing in German and run the English.
Well, we could maybe do a bilingual version. Yeah, the titles has a wonderful idea. Mm-hmm. Fun, yeah.
Did you say you never understand the words?
I'm producer. I have to be hired as producer of the opera.
So well,
I can say we do this.
Is this with
yes, no.
With Cletus Gorgoff?
No, Dennis Russell Davis is director, and he's going to conduct that, I believe, and I'm to produce.
Well, that's
but I mean,
a
is
huge
it working
challenge.
With the radio?
No. This is the Stuttgart Opera.
Oh, it's the